the power of positive thinking. Think good thoughts, program yourself every morning, and then things will just be better for you. We want you to have your best life now. Things can be better. You just have to utilize the power of positive thinking so that you can get into a better place. This is a teaching that's out there. You guys have probably heard a lot of talk about self-improvement and of positive thinking and of successful living. And also, there is a book, maybe some of you are familiar with it, maybe even some of you have read it. It's sold 3 to 4 million copies the last time I checked. It's by Joel Osteen, and it's called Your Best Life Now. And in this book, he does talk a lot about positive thinking and programming yourself in this way so that you can be successful. And the things that he promises people who believe in Jesus is that you will be healthy, that you will be wealthy, and that you will be happy. And so this is called the prosperity gospel, and there are a lot of teachers who are teaching this, whether they come under the name of Christian or under the name of whatever, and this is out there, but here is the problem. And I'm going to go in a different direction, but I also am not against us having our best life now. God wants you to have your best life now, but I just want to give you maybe an alternative way that you can have that. But the problem with the way that the prosperity guys are going about it is this, is they're promising you God's gifts. They're letting you focus on stuff, but not God himself. And so it's causing you to want the things of God, but not really wanting God. Who is the one who gives those things to you? And see, the problem is that in our lives, we're going to be tempted to want more and more stuff all the time so that we can be happier and better off. But if we don't have God himself, we're missing the source of life himself. And we then become disconnected from God because we don't really want him, but rather we reject him and we don't have a relationship with him. And so God wants you to know that the best life now isn't in the stuff, which is temporary, but rather the best life now is going to come through a person. We'll get to who he is. Let's go. First John 5, verse 6. John says this. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And so you can see that the focus is on Jesus. God becoming one of you. A person, just like you. So that you can know who he is. That you could have a relationship with him. So he can identify with you. And then also, he says by water and blood. Some of you who have heard this before are just like, what is he talking about there? Water and blood. I read a couple commentaries to see what the guys are saying, the scholars, the smart people with a lot of degrees are saying. And what they would say is that the water is talking about Jesus' baptism, and the blood is talking about his death. But the thing that was curious to me is that in the letter of 1 John, there is no mention of Jesus' baptism, and it's not the context of the letter. And also, in the Gospel of John, John does not narrate the baptism of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And so, remember, when we're reading through the Bible, we always want to say, what does John mean? Not what would be a good answer, but we want to get into the head of John. And so, throughout this book of the Bible that we've been going through, 1 John, we've always been looking at the letter itself and also the Gospel of John so we could get into the mind of John and see what he means. And so what we're going to do is just that. John 19:34, John gives us a clue about what he's talking about. John 19, verse 34, I'm taking you to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. John narrates this. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear because they wanted to verify that he was really dead on the cross. And it says, at once there came out blood and water. And so why does John care about this? Why does he want you to know this? The reason is in the first century, there were false teachers saying that Jesus wasn't really a human and he only seemed to suffer on the cross. 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. I'll show you that in the context. He says this, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." And so you could see that the context of the letter, John wants you to know that Jesus really is a human, and this really matters because he was tempted in all the ways that you are. He was tempted in all those ways to get more stuff. But instead, he humbled himself, born of the Virgin Mary, into a manger, tempted as you are throughout his life, yet without sin. And so he experienced all the things that are common to you in order that he might save you and redeem you. And when he went to the cross, John wants you to know that he really did suffer, that he really did die for you. And when they pierced him, not only water came out, but also blood. Blood, the thing that is life itself, shed for you so that you would live. He was forsaken so that you would be forgiven. He was rejected so that you would be accepted. He did this for you because he loves you that much. God wants you to know he loves you. He sent his son to be a person to go all the way to the cross for you, and he gives you your best life now in him. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. St. Paul, he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
All of you who are guests, you're like, now I know what that's about. So we'll do that again the next time you come. And so he rose again, conquering death. He has life in himself, and he ascended into heaven, and he now has all the powers of God as he is ascended into heaven. When he humbled himself as he was walking this life as a human being, he humbled himself, identifying with you, not always utilizing all his godlike powers. But now, as he is ascended, he now uses all of them. And so Paul can say this about the person of Jesus, who this sermon is all about and this text is all about. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says this, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Jesus is your promise. Jesus is your answer. He lives in you by faith as the Son of God who gave himself up for you. And so, some of you might say, well, how do we know he lives in us? How can I feel him? And when I first became a Christian, I was really excited about feeling Jesus, okay? So I fell away from the faith in high school at some point, and then God brought me back to faith in Jesus. And so when I came back to faith in Jesus, I was excited and renewed. And then I just loved those times when I was praying or reading the Word, and I would get goosebumps, and I could feel Jesus. And some of you are like, whoa, Pastor. But like, that's how I felt when I first got Jesus back in my life. When you hear the Word, when you're reading the Word, when you're praying, those are times when you could feel that there's something different inside of you. He lives in you. But here's what I want you to know. That there's times, like you go throughout your day, you're not focused on that. So you don't feel Jesus living in you as a Christian. You just go about your day doing your stuff, and you're not thinking about that. But here's what I want you to know. Whether or not you feel him or not, Jesus wants you to know that he's there in you. And also, why does this matter? I'll tell you why. Because as Christians, you're now walking in the light of Christ, but now his light is revealing more about who you are and about more about who he is. And so your sin is being exposed more. Okay, but now, while your sin is being exposed in your life by Jesus who lives in you, doesn't he always take you back to the cross? He takes you back to himself, because in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they lost the presence of God when they sinned in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? God was present in the Garden of Eden. The definition of sin is that they were no longer in his presence. But now, through Jesus Christ, who by faith lives in you, you now have his presence. You're reconnected to the source of life. And he takes you back to the cross through his word and reminds you about the fact that your sins are forgiven in him. That he loves you by his grace when he shed his blood for you in that way. Today, we're also going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And visibly, you're going to see the body and the blood of Jesus shed for you on that cross. Because God wants you to know just how much he loves you. And just the great lengths and the extent that he went to save you and have a relationship with you. And I just want you to know, he is present in that supper that we're going to have for you, so that you can commune with him and have him. But it's for this purpose, to assure you of salvation. Am I against all those things that God give you? No. God made all that stuff. God gave it all to you. And so I want you to know, your money, your house, the ability to pay your rent or your mortgage or your car, all of those things that God has gifted to you, God wants you to know that it is from him. And he wants you to thank him and praise him, because it's all from him. Apart from him as your creator, you have nothing. But he wants you to know that this too, that all that stuff isn't going to last. But he is. He is what lasts. He's not distant like the deists believe, but rather he comes to you in the person of Jesus Christ. He's up close and personal, and he lives in you by faith. He's present. Also, we're going to go to verse 13. Between verse 7 and verse 12, John wants you to know that Jesus really is human. He really did suffer and die. But then beginning at about verse 11, and it will culminate with verse 13, he wants you to know that he also gifts you eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 13 says this. This is the purpose of the letter. This is the purpose of why he also wrote the Gospel of John. But he says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Isn't this a good thing to know? He doesn't want you to doubt it, but rather he wants you to know that this is yours, not because of how good you are, but rather because of how gracious he is. Because of how good he is for you, and that he loves you this much. And there's a lot of talk about the end times all the time, but now even more so like this week, right? So if you've been watching the news, you're listening to the radio, the Mayan calendar supposedly says that the end of the calendar is December 21st. So I hope you have your vacation to Disneyland planned or something planned before then, because it's the 21st, guys. So now the Vatican, though, said that it's not going to be the 21st. So they know when the end's going to come. But here's the point, though. Jesus wants you to know this. We don't know when the end's going to come. We do know that he will come again. The Old Testament said that he's going to come, and he did. So that's why we have Christmas, and we're going to celebrate that. The New Testament says he will come again. So for those of you who may not yet be there as far as Jesus is, it probably would be a good idea to be prepared for that. He's going to come again. One of my friends in high school, I remember we were talking about eternal life, and we told my friend, I said, hey, we want to have eternal life. And I was just starting to investigate Jesus again. I didn't really know what I was talking about yet. But I was like, hey, I want to have eternal life. And so my friend, his name was Clark, he was like, you don't believe in eternal life, do you? Because it's not scientific. Like, there's no way to see Jesus come back again and then empirically look at the data and see how people get it. But here is the words of Jesus for you, and he wants to give you a narrative of how this thing's going to go down. John chapter 5, verse 28, verse 29. Jesus says this, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." In the Gospel of John, those who have done good are those who've come into the light. They're not worried about being held accountable to God. They're just going to come and they're going to trust in Jesus. And those who have done evil are those who have just rejected Jesus and the gift that God has offered to you through him. But you could see, there's going to come this day, and all who are in the tombs are going to hear his voice. Jesus is telling you this. You can either believe him or you could think he's, I don't know, but we believe him. Here's why. He rose from the dead. And there is so much testimony to that fact that he rose again, conquering death. And he says, because I live, you're going to live too. It's going to happen. And so he wants you to know that eternal life is a gift to you. And he's and for those of you who may not yet have this, you're not yet repenting of sin and trusting in Jesus, I invite you to put your faith in Jesus today. This is the best life that you can have, is with him. It's Jesus. It's nothing else. And here's why. Because he gives you the assurance of where you're going so that you don't have to live your life with fear, but with confidence. Not being worried or scared, but having assurance of his peace, having assurance of his grace. And will we go through trials? Yes, we will go through trials. Did that school in Connecticut go through a trial? Yeah. We saw evil on that day. On Friday, our nation saw evil and sin coming out of somebody's heart that decided to perform this evil act and murder. That school saw evil in their community and in their eyes. Jesus wants you to know this, that yes, there is sin and there is evil, and he is going to judge it. There will be vengeance from God, not from us, but from him. But he wants you to know that he is a God of grace who gifts believers with eternal life. And in the end, we're going to see that our present sufferings, that our present trials are not in comparison to the glory that's going to be revealed in the new creation, the new heavens, and the new earth, where there's no more sin, no more death, no more evil or murder or any of that stuff happening. It would have all passed away. Jesus promises you this better place, and he tells you what it's going to be like and what it's going to look like. 1 John 5, verse 13, put that back up there. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And this is the best gift that you can have in this life, so that you know that your present trials are not in comparison to what you're going to get and what's going to be revealed in the end. I don't know about you, but that gives me great peace, because I know that, yeah, I'm going to go through some stuff. We're all going to go through some stuff. But in the end, we have a God that's promised us the best gift and reward, and it's beyond our comprehension to imagine how great it is. So I'm going to take that, and I'm going to hit my trials on head on. And that's what John wants you to do too. Verse 14 and verse 15, he continues to talk about prayer. And he says this, "This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Jesus answers our prayers. He's all powerful. You can talk to him. He will respond to you. And now, I want you to know this. John wants you to know he's not a genie, okay? So that he just says, what do you wish? Make your request. And then you just make your wish, you make your request, and then it happens. That's not what he's saying. He wants you to know that it must be according to his will. And the more you get to know him, the more you will pray according to his will. The more you're reading your Bibles and hearing the preaching and taking in who he is, the more you're going to pray about stuff that you know he cares about because you know him. But then the less you are taking him in, the more you're going to pray about stuff that maybe he's not really valuing as much. And so you must pray according to his will, and his will is going to be done. And I just want to illustrate to you how we've seen him answer our requests at St. Paul Lutheran Church in school, and how he has shown us his power as an all-powerful, sovereign God, hearing and then responding, interacting with us through prayer. About 3 years ago, we went through a financial crisis. We had a hard time. But then we prayed, and we said, God, please take us to a better place. And so he brought us out of an $80,000 deficit in our budget, but he brought us and he took us to a better place. And then we said, God, we need a full-time principal to be able to run this school and serve these children and serve this community. But we didn't know how we were going to afford it. And so we asked God and we prayed and he granted us that full-time principal. And then also we went through another trial, and the trials are hard to explain, right? I don't have all the answers to all the trials, but then he gave us a principal. We got Gwen Crane as our principal, and she graced us, but then she had to go through the bout of cancer. It's like, how is this a part of the plan? We don't always know the why when we go through this, so we prayed again, and we asked God, please deliver her from this. And by God's grace and by God's power, he delivered her from her cancer. She's healed and with us and better today by his grace. We prayed and we said, hey, we need to reach out to the men of our church, the women of our church, the young families. We need to reach them. And so God granted us young families, men's and women's ministries to reach out to all of those people, to meet them where they're at, and to share the gospel with them. We prayed. We said, we need our church and school to be one and to operate as one, God. He granted us teachers that have now become a part of St. Paul Lutheran Church, part of the membership here, to bridge that gap so that we can operate as one. Our God is good. He's answered a lot of our prayers. I've seen this passage be true, you guys, that God hears and he responds and he grants. And now, I know what's on your mind. You're thinking, what about those times when he's not doing or giving what we ask? And those are the trials. Those are the times where we don't know why. And we have to ask him why. And then he shows us why in our lives. But I'll tell you this. I'd rather have an all-powerful God who is all-loving and who's all-knowing, who promises me the new creation in heaven, I would rather that all-powerful God's will be done rather than mine. I don't always know what's best for me. I don't know what is always best for others, but I know he's in charge. And that's what he wants you to know. Jesus is in charge, and he reigns, and when you know this and you embrace this, he'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding, and he will give you a joy as you thank him and as you praise him for that. All who are gathered here, I want you to know this. I cannot, and these are your take-home points for today, your take-home. I want you to know that I cannot promise you good health, a lot of wealth, prosperity, and happiness all the time. I can't, John can't, the Bible can't. But What you can have and be promised is Jesus Christ as your best life now, living inside of you, being present to assure you of his love by faith. And also, by faith, I want you to know that Jesus gifts you the best gift that there is, eternal life that's found in himself. And then finally, he also gives you an interactive and loving relationship through prayer, and he'll take you through the hard times and the good times, culminating with the new creation itself. Final point, Jesus is your best life now. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts, guard your minds through faith in him. Amen. Please stand to confess.